Coffee and Cream on Hale Varsity Radio with Andrew Rogers and Damon Benning.
Welcome back. Coffee and Cream in our final hour. Ravi Lula gracious enough to fill in while Andrew Rogers is in Lincoln.
Talk about practice.
Practice. Not a game. But speaking of, like, where folks are, mm-hmm. fresh off of vacation, and I'm happy that he's like, yeah, I may be a little out of the loop, but I'm never too far, because I am Michael Bruntz from 24/7 Sports. Bruntzy, how are you? Did you get right back on the horse down in Lincoln today?
Yeah, I did. I got some mental reps over spring break, so I was ready to go.
Before I get to football, let me go back to something that you jinxed a month ago when I tried to talk you into Nebraska having enough depth on paper to win more midweek games. You would not subscribe to that theory, and once again last week or Tuesday happened, right? Like, are we trending? Is this is just a thing now?
We're getting close, I think. You know, the other night, I mean, you get what, like 70 pitches out of Will Walsh, who hasn't thrown more than an inning in his career. That's pretty remarkable. Like, that's the kind of game that you got to get over the finish line. And they just don't have arms that they, at least now, feel like they can really rely on. So it's going to be tough sledding, I think, unless you get guys like Shea Shaneman to be more consistent. If you can find somebody to step up, I'm a little surprised that we haven't seen some more of guys like Rizzo, the A&M transfer, Ornelas. I was a little surprised that he wasn't an option too. I know Shaneman wasn't available, and Perry had been pretty knocked down from pitching a couple times against Nicholls State, but that's a tough place to be in when you're trying to protect a lead late and you just don't really have a ton of faith in who's coming in to throw strikes. So it's tough. You know, Big Ten play starting, you're going to need Olsen and Kaminska to get deep on Fridays and Saturdays and buckle up on Sunday, I guess. That's going to be, I think, kind of the recipe, unless they can get that the starting job on Sunday figured out and maybe an arm or two to step up.
We've seen this before in some other sports with Nebraska's fan base and like, you know, you're too connected to Cosgrove or your buddy hiring, you know, Chenander or whatever. Do you hear those rumblings with Jeff Christie and Lincoln, or is it a little different because he's one of our own?
No, I mean, you're starting to hear it. You heard some of it last year, and I think last year it was a little unjustified, in all honesty. I mean, you go back and look at the numbers that they put together as a staff with the offense that Nebraska had and the injuries that they had. I mean, they kept it between the ditches pretty well last year, all things considered, I thought. You know, the thing that's been tough is you just haven't had enough young guys kind of ready to go to replace the guys you've lost. So, I think, you know, having Rob Childress on staff probably helps. I think he's involved as much as he can be. But, you know, it's just a thing of numbers now. I mean, you just need more arms that you can rely upon. And in college baseball, too, I mean, having one or two guys that can come in a tough spot and give you a couple innings, they're gold. And they just don't seem to have that guy this year. I think they kind of thought Michael Garza could be that guy, maybe Caleb Clark, but you know, they haven't done it for whatever reason.
Brunts, want to move on to football, and obviously we've got a huge recruiting weekend coming up here. Obviously, there's some big headline names. Is there anyone that's not being talked about a ton that you expect to be here this weekend that people should be paying more attention to?
Is there anybody that's going to be here that we're not being talked about?
Oh, shoot.
I mean, there's, what, like 25 guys? I feel like we're talking about them all quite a bit. I mean, honestly, you know, one of the big ones and it's not necessarily the one specific guy, but I think the fact that they're getting as many of the kind of national type recruits from the in-state kids on campus as well, I think that's important because you're starting to see guys take trips. I mean, you guys, Isaiah McMorris going to Penn State, Daylon Hall is the same way. And I think it sends an important message when you have this massive recruiting weekend and you're getting those kids from home to come to, even though they're just right down the road. Like, it's, if you're having that conversation about how are you going to recruit Omaha differently, how are you going to recruit the state differently, that's where I think you kind of back up the talk a little bit. You could probably throw Carter Nelson in that category as well. I mean, there's a lot of stars out there, but I mean, you're getting him on campus again before he does his big string of visits. He's been on campus a couple times already. That matters. And I mean, even today, I mean, you had Caleb Pyfrom walk in to practice as well. That's another important guy that I think they got to really work to get, but you're getting those visits now, and that's important. So I think, you know, probably the local visits kind of catch my eye too, and who's coming, you know, when they could be going anywhere else in the spring right now.
Ah, that's interesting, because I feel like that was a father co-host moment, right, where I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. I think Caleb's going fresh before he goes to Wisconsin and East Lansing next week. But to your point, right, because – and I know it's hard for you guys, and I give you a ton of credit. Nobody wants to tell me about my son because I should know. So I think people just stay away from it. But I don't. So you guys talk to him probably more than I do. I know Shafe and a couple of other guys do. But anyway, on the heels of that, though, Bruntsy, how difficult do you think it will be, because they are on campus at the same time and there will be the tendency to compare and contrast?
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, that's an interesting question, I guess, given everything. But, yeah, I mean, Kevin Father Coast moment, I guess. It's fair. I mean, and that's kind of the flip side, I guess, and not even, you know, the local angle to it too. But I mean, when you're hosting a huge recruiting weekend like that, how do you make sure that nobody is kind of getting lost in the shuffle and that everybody's getting the attention and everybody's building that relationship with the coaching staff and, you know, seeing who they need to see and that kind of thing? But that's something you have to be aware of, I think, as a staff when you're hosting something like that. And, you know, certainly with the in-state kids too, you know, I think, you know, that's something you have to be concerned about. I mean, that you could spin that too, right? Like, you know, we've got the, you know, three of the top 10 recruits in the country in town, and we want to make sure that you're there right there with them too. So I don't know. I mean, that's how you navigate that, I guess, is maybe where Matt Rule and his staff makes their money.
Brunts, I want to move on to spring practice here. I know that the tendency, especially with a new coach, is to kind of read too much into everything. It's the first time they're actually on a football field, so we're going to do that even double now. What do you hope to, I guess, learn or take away from a spring session? I know we're only a week in here, but what are you hoping to find out throughout the spring?
Oh, probably a locked in cement win loss record for 2023. I mean, that's probably what I'm looking for.
9-3, lock it in.
Yeah, I'm already booking my flight to Orlando for the Capital One Bowl. No, I mean, I think what you're looking for is just, you're kind of looking for difference and what's new and, you know, what's maybe being done differently from what you'd seen before. I mean, that's kind of what you're able to do. You're also kind of looking to see who the heck all these new guys are. 'Cause by the way, they've overhauled the roster and, you don't have single digit numbers right now. So everybody's wearing different numbers. And, so there's a lot you can kind of take in there, but, I don't know. I mean, the energy, the organization, I think, stood out to me this morning, for sure. I think when you kind of listen to what the coaches were saying during the individual sessions and things like that, you could kind of hear the same words being used, and that I think that was really purposeful by the staff, and to me kind of gets to the level of organization that they're trying to get to, and you know they've had in the past, so that stood out. I don't know, it just seemed like there was a lot going on, but it didn't seem like there was much chaos at all. And I guess that's a good thing when you're, what is this, practice 3 or 4 already, you know, into the spring.
Totally playing into your philosophical realm here. I've said for probably a couple of months now, I don't think any good organizations, whether in a classroom, the private sector, can have a shared purpose, i.e. a common vision, without having common language. And we've heard Coach Rhule say common, the notion of common language, he didn't call it that, but saying the same things, builds in discipline and accountability. When you listen to the staff say a lot of the same things like you did this morning, who's benefiting more, the staff cohesiveness or the players getting it from the staff?
Oh, probably the players. I think for sure. I mean, when you're getting the constant, consistent message, I mean, that's one way you get buy-in. That's one way you figure out who's not bought in, I think. I'm gonna probably hear the phrase dominant contact in my sleep tonight. they said it so many times today. But I don't know. I mean, that stuff caught my eye. You know, the other thing that kind of was interesting, I thought, when players came down and before they ran onto the practice field, they had to check in, and they were checking to see if the back plate was covered, if the guy's mouth guard, and kind of checking that out. I thought that was interesting. I mean, usually you kind of see guys bound down the stairs, run onto the field, but there was kind of that final like check to make sure that everything was in place the way it should have been. And it's an accountability thing, and it's, you know, a message to the players that, you know, we're going to be a detail-oriented team. We expect you to, you know, adhere to those details. And I think players probably benefit from that a heck of a lot more, especially probably today's players, than maybe the coaching piece of it.
Bruns, how much do you think of those extra little details, you know, the checking before you go out on the practice field, things like that, how much of that to you is establishing a baseline, and how much of that do you kind of expect to see as a permanent fixture of what this staff does?
I think it's probably going to be permanent. I mean, probably the hope from their end is that you don't have to check it and police it as much as you go along, but I don't, the staff doesn't strike me as the kind that they're going to do something and then just completely abandon it. You know what I mean? Like, I think if it's something that they're going to do and it's something that they value, they're going to continue to do it. At least that's my read on things so far, is that they do what they say, mm-hmm. and they, you know, kind of live that. And I think that's kind of all part of it, is just, the little detailed things that matter now, and kind of getting everybody on the same page. The hope is that it, you know, it helps you in, you know, in November when you're trying to beat Minnesota in a one score game.
Ravi and I got into this philosophical thing about expectations and identity, and then it kind of, we bottom lined it just as we talk through it, that the how is extremely important to this staff. And the how is explained along with the why. And then the byproduct will be the what. Did you get that sense, or is that the right order when you watched the dialogue, the checking in, the back plates? It sounds like you're describing a lot of how, mm-hmm. without even knowing that we had this conversation this morning.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because, I mean, the why, it's kind of a lazy parent take, right? It's like, because I said so. Like, it's, the why to me is like, okay, this is who we are. Like, this is what we do. And you know, I think they've probably gone to great lengths to explain things and why they do things. But I mean, even Matt Rhule the other day was talking about, you know, they wanted to make sure that guys were, you know, wearing the right uniform and they were dressing the appropriate way and kind of making sure that guys are dialed in that way. I mean, you had, you know, offense and defense wearing different colored pants today. I noticed that, like, that was a change that they had made. I mean, I don't know if there's some grand purpose to that, but it's just something else that these guys have to kind of keep an eye on. I mean, it doesn't strike me as one of those things where it's like the 3-inch Bill Callahan playbook or whatever that everybody kind of lost their crap about, that, you know, I don't know if it really mattered that much, but I mean, I think these guys are just kind of trying to set a culture, and, you know, I think this is, you know, part of what they've seen work in the past and you know, what kind of matters.
Bruns, it seems like the buy-in from players has been pretty good so far. I'm sure there's some degrees of differentiation there, and I'm sure we'll see some more guys leave by the time spring is over. But I guess how much of the apparent general buy-in do you think has to do with, I guess, just the lack of success that all these guys have experienced so far, so they're willing to try something new?
I mean, that's part of it. you know, when you haven't been to a bowl game since 2016, I mean, I would be at least open to other ways of doing things. I think that's part of it. I mean, part of it's, I think you kind of have a little bit of a honeymoon period with the new staff too, where you're doing things new, you're trying things out. You know, everybody's got a clean slate and, you know, trying to compete for their spot on the depth chart. I mean, I agree with you. I think, you know, when that portal window opens in April, we're going to really see who's bought in and how bought in they are. But, you know, right now, I think you're kind of, guys are kind of getting used to, you know, the way of doing things. And I think kind of, it's almost kind of like when you rearrange like a room, you rearrange the furniture in a room, and it's like, okay, this feels fresh and it gives you a little energy. Like, I feel like that's kind of where they're at right now with the staff.
Let's just hope that eventually you don't realize you're still sitting on the same futon. Hey, Bruntsy, the last one from me. I think it's interesting that the fan base is very reluctant, I think, to put both feet in, and I get it, right? It's just it is what it is. But when you're going through your checklist of what you think has kind of ailed this program the last 10 years, without seeing wins and losses yet, are they hitting your benchmarks?
Through three spring practices,
just since the staff, you know, like. We wanted accountability. We wanted discipline. Like, there's all these things I think we wanted. Are we seeing?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. Yeah, I think that you. I think the way that they talk about what they do and the reasons why they do what they do, I think that has kind of piqued my interest a little bit. I mean, I think there's a lot of thought and deliberation about, you know, the way they practice, the way that they build a culture and they try to get guys on board. And you know, I think it's been an issue in the past of, in my mind at least, it's been an issue of discipline and how do you kind of rise above and make those four winning plays in a tough game to come out on top. And at least in my mind, that those were often issues of discipline and, you know, in some cases, you know, not being able to kind of keep your emotions in check when things got a little bad on you, thinking more like the Pelini type era. So I don't know. We'll see if this stuff matters and helps when you get to the season. But it seems like the boxes that they're trying to check now would potentially lead to more disciplined play, fewer turnovers, those kinds of things in the season. We'll see. But, I've been impressed to this point with the way that they've kind of gone about starting to kind of put the ground floor, I guess, with this program.
Bronzy, I'll get you out on this. You're one of the talented guys, obviously, in our media that can write and talk, which I think is – it's hard to do. Either sometimes you're a good writer or you're a good talker. You hit the trifecta, though, because you're really good with the camera. When you're watching when you're watching this team, and I not to go all underwear Olympics, but the body styles do seem to be vastly different. Can you see why they spent two, three weeks just watching mobility before they worried about weight?
I'm probably not the best with that, but I think it makes sense to kind of, when you come into a program like that, to make sure that you've got a good read on where things are at before you just jump in with what you're going to do. I didn't notice a ton of guys today that looked like significantly bigger than the last time we saw them, or just like these had put on tons of weight, which that was different. In the past, you'd see a guy put on, 20 pounds and, looked great coming out of the winter. But it seemed like it was much more, smaller games, a little bit more of the focus on the mobility, like they've said and like you said. But that was, the only guy I can really think of that I was like, oh, wow, that looks completely different, is like a Roquan Buckley, was a little bit bigger than I remember it. But I think that makes sense in my mind, that my pea brain at least.
Or a Nash Hutmacher that looks significantly smaller.
Yeah, I didn't see a ton of D line, that's noteworthy, I think, as you get into spring.
Fantastic stuff, Bruncey. Appreciate you hopping right back into it from vacay, man. Best wishes this weekend, and enjoy it.
Thanks, guys.
I'm a big Bruns guy.
Oh, me too. I mean, we talked about this last time. We go way back.
I know, right?
Way back.
And I'm going to stop saying that every time we hang up with him. But.
No, to kind of go further into the question you just asked him to end there in terms of the mobility and things like that, the movement patterns are really, really important.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, if you don't have that part down, the weights only make it worse. Because if you've got bad movement patterns and then you start loading bad movement patterns, you get locked into bad movement patterns. Okay? So if you don't figure out the right movement patterns before you start adding a load to that, then you're going to make things worse. You'll be stronger, but you'll be worse at what you're trying to do. You might be a better lifter. You'll be a worse football player.
Yeah, 100%
so
agreement.
So locking up those movement patterns is way more important than the extra 2 weeks of, oh, well, I could have added this much more on these lifts.
Yeah, they didn't even worry about it. And that's the first time, and it's not what I would call novel. Mm-hmm. It's the first time that was talked about openly here. Well, listen, we watched these guys. Mm-hmm. We stared at their movements and recorded them for a few weeks before we even discussed how we're going to lift. I just want to watch the guys move.
Because that's how you... It's like a doctor, right? You're diagnosing what needs to be worked on. You can't just go to a doctor and be like, hey, give me the medicine. He's like, well, what are your symptoms? What does it look like? I need to know.
Well, generally speaking, back after this on Coffee and Cream with our main man, Hale Varsity's own, Jacob Padilla.